But you
it's
know what?
teeth.
In reality, Kagome doesn't know if it's Inuyasha or Koga's child because she's
it's
all,
Inuyasha's.
She's all.
I'm in her 40s, and she's just 16. I'm in my 40s.
Welcome home, dear sweet sensei. Would you like a bath or some dinner?
Oh, Eureka!
Oh, no, dear sweet sensei. Not here.
Yes, please come in.
Doctor, it's time for our weekly session.
Oh, Chiaki. So nice to see you. Please, please, sit down. So, Chiaki, it says here on your chart that from your last doctor, you mentioned that you've been having anime-related dreams. Can you please tell me a little bit about that for a minute?
Oh, yes. I mean, I prefer not to think of them as dreams. They're kind of like transporting me into another world. I mean, it's kind of like Hitomi, really, or someone like that. I just kind of spin around, and all of my clothes fly off, and I'm glowing. And then I poof into a cat girl, and I save the day with my magical amulet and animal friends, but when cold water gets poured on me, I turn into a dragon. I also pilot a mech in my free time.
And how often have you been having this dream?
Dream? What dream?
I think I've heard enough. Chiaki, did you know that this is your 12th help session with me? Congratulations.
Yep. Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast, Session 12.
So welcome back to the 12th episode of Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast. You just heard Only My Railgun, which is from the anime To Aru Kagaku no Railgun, from the artist Flipside. And today I am joined with my motley crew of hosts.
Just putting it briefly.
Hatake.
I'm Hatake. What's up?
Kimiko.
Nice to talk to you guys again.
And the Japan-bound Chiaki.
Japan-bound? I'm in Japan. Hello from the Far East, everybody.
Situated.
So jealous.
And, Just to let you guys know, there are a number of ways that you can find us online. We're at AAApodcast.com, and you can also find us on Facebook, and we're on iTunes and Mevio. So give us a look. You know, join our forum on the website if you'd like. If you like the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. We really encourage user requested reviews and topics for discussion. So, you know, we hope to hear from you. And I know we have a couple announcements to start off the show tonight. We do have a wonderful show for you guys. We're gonna talk about some news, the latest things that are happening in Japan. And then we're going to be talking about one of the more philosophical questions, which is, what exactly is anime?
Bum, bum, bum.
From a technical standpoint. And then we're going to talk for a couple minutes about the new anime season that just started on Thursday. And then we're going to wrap it up with some reviews of the animes from last season and from a couple older animes.
One big announcement that I want everyone to know. The AAA Podcast website, aapodcast.com, is going to be getting a big overhaul. We're talking new logo, new design. It's going to be really exciting, and one of the big, quote-unquote, new features we're going to add is the Anime Addicts Anonymous are going to have their own webcomic. And we were actually talking about it before we started this podcast, and it is going to be really funny. Not to, like, fluff our own feathers, but it really is. So I hope to have a teaser of the new website up sometime within the next month. I don't know exactly when the new site's going to go up, but it'll probably be before or right on the new year, at the latest. So everyone look out for that. I'll give another announcement when the changes are going to start happening. So it'll be brand new look, same old good stuff that you come to the AAA for.
Great.
Wunderbar.
And we also have a new forum member, ShadowFox165. Brand spanking new, so welcome to the website, and we hope you enjoy the show, Shadow Fox.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah.
And we love Metal Gear. On this podcast.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and kick the show off with a couple of news articles here. It seems that the anime space battleship Yamato has finally had its film cast listed for its live-action adaptation, and probably the most noted member of the cast, as previously revealed, SMAP, the main band member, Takuya Kimura, who was also who also played Hao in the Japanese version of Hao's Moving Castle, is going to lead the cast as the main hero, Susumu Kodai. So,
wow.
And
SMAP's really big over here, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they do a bunch of commercials for, like, one of the biggest cell phone companies, and even though they've been around forever, they're really big, so. They're almost like the Backstreet Boys of Japan if the Backstreet Boys never died. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, my Okasan, like, loves SMAP, so.
How old is she? Your Okasan?
She's, like,
in her, like, 40s?
No, she's older than that. She's in, like, her 50s.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So they appeal to the older generation, too.
Well, they've been around now for, like, literally, like, 13 years or something ridiculous like that, so.
Anyway, so, in case, for those of you that don't know, the original anime of Space Battleship Yamato follows the voyages of the World War II battleship Yamato after it's resurrected from a space-faring ship to fend off alien threats to Earth. So it's kind of like, you know, your space epic, you know, drama. Space opera, if you will. And it seems that the live-action film is going to use computer-generated graphics, and it has a budget of over 2 billion yen, which is about $22 million. I think it's a lot of money. That's a big budget for a movie.
Yeah, it is.
For an animated film. And, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to come to America. It probably won't, but, you know. But if you want to watch it, I guess you'll probably be able to get it subtitled eventually on DVD. You can probably find it online streaming or something. So, Battleship Yamato. So, for those of you that like that series, you'll probably want to look out for it, because it looks like it's going to be really good with that kind of budget.
Can't not be, well.
I mean, you know, they'll just keep pumping money into it until it looks too good for you not to think it's amazing. I wonder how much of that money is going to SMAP's band member.
1,500,000.
1 billion yen.
That would have been cooler if they could see you.
I know. I was doing the Austin Powers finger.
Okay, so I actually have some exciting news, too. As everyone knows, I went to Tokyo, but I actually went to Tokyo, like, 1 month after they took down the Gundam.
That's really sad.
So, I know, I was really heartbroken. I don't know why they took it down. That's such a bad idea.
Did you get to at least see where it was?
I did. I went to the anime mecca.
That isn't nothing.
Ground Zero, yeah. The Gundam.
Yeah, Odaiba.
Exactly.
Odaiba.
So, anyways, so you can imagine my surprise and joy when I'm sitting eating breakfast and I look over and my otosan, or my host father, is reading the paper and I see a giant anime robot picture. And I'm like, anime robot? Hmm. So,
How precarious.
So, in Kobe now, the Wakamatsu Park, a statue of Gigantor, as it's known in English, or Tsetsujin 28-go, which literally translates out to Iron Man number 28, has been erected. The statue weighs 50 tons and costs 135 million yen, which is about 1.5 million U.S., and it's taken about 6 weeks to put up. It's actually, it's put up for a really good reason. In 1995, for anyone who doesn't know, Kobe, or the prefecture area of Kobe, was struck by a very bad earthquake, and it plunged the entire area into, you know, all kinds of states of social and economical and physical disarray. And Kobe, in many areas, is still trying to recover from that, even though it's been over 10 years. I know that there's still help and community service projects that go there from the school that I'm studying at in Japan. So this statue was erected to try to help bring tourism back to the area and bring people back and, you know, kind of be a symbol that, hey, this area is coming back. So if you're in Japan, you know, go, because not only is it an anime statue, but it was created for a good cause, and unlike the Gundam, this is permanent. It is not going to be taken down. Anyone not familiar, the original manga was in 1956, and to give you a time frame, that's only 4 years after the original Tezuka's Astro Boy. So, manga creator was Yokoyama. He's pretty much just an old childhood hero. Like, my Oto-san and Oka-san kind of remember this guy as being, like, you know, a superhero.
Right.
So, yep, big robot anime statue, new one in Japan. Hopefully it'll help the Gundam come back.
I'm sure that the new Japanese political party loves that they're putting the money to good use and stimulating the economy.
Oh, yes. That is an entirely different debate. But the opening ceremony was about 2 weeks ago, and I hope to get out to Kobe to see it soon.
So our economy's in shambles. What can we spend our money on to better our country? Oh, I know. Let's build a 60-foot gigantic robot in the middle of Kobe.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, that'll stimulate
the economy. Wouldn't it?
But if it helps.
Well, apparently it has helped. Apparently, a news article I'm reading says the project raised 135 million yen, partly through the city's investment of 45 million yen, through sales of Tetsujin Curry. I don't know what that is, but
yeah. Foot in mouth, Mitsugi.
135 million yen is only like $1 million.
So, it's still doing something.
In a country with a GDP of like 6 trillion.
Whatever.
Okay.
But either way, anime fans rejoice. Another big robot has been erected.
Yay! You know, I hung on and climbed on the big robot from Castle in the Sky in the Ghibli Museum.
I know, and you big also city. Took your shirt off in the Ghibli Museum.
I did.
Legit.
Yep.
There's pictures. He disgraced that sacred ground. Okay, anyways, moving on.
Moving on.
Himiko.
So anyway, apparently in...
tourism.
Speaking of tourism, exactly. In San Francisco, for all of you Californians, there is a new anime-themed Best Western that just went up called Hotel Tomo.
Is it a love hotel?
No. No, it's not.
It can be.
Why would you bother? You can make it a love hotel.
Anything's a love hotel if you try hard enough. No.
That's what she said.
But anyway, so the hotel costs about $109 a room, rates starting at, basically, with deluxe gaming suites available for $150 for 2 hours or $500 for a full day.
So it is a love hotel. You stay for 2 hours.
Exactly.
It's long enough to get your groove on and then head out.
And
oh my god, I'm looking at pictures of this hotel. This looks freaking amazing.
Doesn't it though? The pictures are cool.
Yeah.
They have a lobby that's set up very, you know.
What's the website?
The website that I'm at is a Wired website, so I don't know. There isn't a website for the hotel in general, unless you, did you find
it? Yeah, I did. It's if you Google Hotel Tomo, it's literally the first link. It's jdvhotels.com/hotels/San Francisco/Tomo. But if you just Google Hotel Tomo, it's the first link, and it has a photo gallery and virtual tours. So.
Wonderful. Way to think ahead, man. But really, it's absolutely amazing just from the pictures I've seen. It's set up very, like, Japanese-style, anime-esque, J-pop, all of that. They even have in one of the descriptions, if you like J-pop, comics, anime in general, then this place is for you. It's very much the perfect place to stay for just an anime lover. It's got a lot of muralistic sort of wallpapering that's done by a Tokyo artist, Heisuke Kitazawa, for any of you who are familiar. His work is absolutely gorgeous. Very colorful, very artistic. And just the hotel seems like, if you are in the area and you want a place to stay that suits the anime within, then I would definitely check this place out.
I one more thing I want to add, because this tickled me when I first saw it. It has a picture of the room, right? And mm-hmm. every hotel room has, like, a little table that you just use for whatever. But on the table in the picture, there's Shonen Jump and Naruto manga, just supplied for you.
One of the articles I read actually said that they leave those out in every single room, almost like mints on a pillow. And one of the pictures has a picture of an ugly doll on the bed. It's kind of
fun. Yeah.
It's really cool. Like, they go all out. And I think they have some form of, like, tent or something with a greenhouse on the roof. Like, I can't really figure out what it is from the picture, but it looks really interesting. And the lobby has anime playing on a constant loop. So.
And what's it located in?
This is in Japantown, San Francisco.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense. There's a very high population of Japanese in California. So, I guess there is a market there for such a thing.
Actually, one of the articles I read, too, said that 95% of the people who showed up to go to this Hotel Tomo were not Asian of any kind. They were just anime lovers that are probably strictly American, which was pretty incredible, all things considered, because this was geared towards both the anime lover and the Japanese fan.
I was going to say, they would be really smart to put it in your Comic-Con. However, Comic-Con's in Los Angeles, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, but that's okay.
San Francisco.
So, yeah, check it out. Hotel Tomo.
So, I think that's pretty much it for the news, but... Okay, so whether or not all the listeners realize it or not, the new anime season started last Thursday, and I believe that there were something like 12 new animes that came out, and we're only through the first episode of them, but I think between the four of us, we've pretty much blanketed all of them. And... I'm really interested to hear exactly what you guys think about the ones that you watched, and I think at this point we're probably not ready to tell people what they can or should not watch at this point, because it's probably not fair to make an assessment after only one episode, but just your general impression on the new season as a whole, I think would be good. I mean, I know what I want to say, but I'd rather listen to you guys first.
Well, I checked out Neon Koi, which, if any of you are familiar, is an anime about a guy who can talk to cats and must perform 100 good deeds for cats around his neighborhood, or else he will be turned into a cat. Basic plotline.
Huh.
And it's cute. It's definitely interesting. I mean, I'll watch the next episode, definitely. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if anyone's familiar with that old TV show on Nickelodeon called 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd.
I've heard of that, but I've not watched.
Yes, that's what it was.
Kind of reminds me of that, only backwards. But yeah, no, I think it's interesting. The main guy is not too ridiculous that you're annoyed halfway through watching him. The main girl is a little tedious. She's just
How much is she there though?
Not as much as I thought she was going to be from the opening of the anime.
Right. So,
which is nice. I mean, she's only there occasionally. She's the love interest, so you know she's going to be around. She's just probably not going to be around nearly as much as all the cats are, which the cats are freaking adorable.
I can pretty much predict that's this one anime right now. My prediction is she's a cat, actually. And at some point, she's going to turn back into a cat, and he'll know it, and they'll make it clear that he knows that she's a cat.
I don't know, man.
And she'll be the last wish, and her last wish is to be, you know, her boyfriend or whatever, or give her a kiss.
God, you're so cynical.
Oh my God.
I'm just predicting it.
Her whole family owns dogs, and she loves cats, and so she'll go and she'll terrorize the cats in the neighborhood. And his first good deed to the cats was to get her to stop messing with all the cats because they were making all the other cats neurotic and terrified. And
well, I'm sorry for being cynical, but if you had watched the animes that I watched, and I'm not going to say which ones they were.
If you've seen the things I've seen,
my impression of the anime season right now is that it's very bad.
That's promising.
I mean, I've now seen four different animes from the season, and I mean, come on, one of them had tentacles in it. I mean, give me a break. I mean, what kind of animes are we watching? They're not. It's not even a hentai, and it has tentacles in it. I mean, come on, seriously.
Okay, all in all, Neon Koi, maybe. How about that?
Well, we're not giving impressions yet.
Well, yeah, but...
Okay. I'm trying to generalize, but I'm really looking forward to a couple of the animes that are coming out this season. They're not. None of the ones that I think are going to be good are out yet, so we're stuck with the drab, you know... Torment.
It might not be drab or torment.
I watched the first episode, too.
Okay,
what did you think?
Spice it up a little bit so you can counteract my negativity.
Please?
Okay.
I think I'm going worse.
Well, most of my animes, and actually the animes that I'm most excited for, don't really start until next week. But one of them that has come out has been The Sacred Blacksmith. It came out on the 3rd. And Kimi no Todoke actually... The first episode was released, but I haven't found it online yet. So I haven't watched that one, though. That's the one I'm excited for. That's the one, it's the girl that looks like the ring, or the girl from the ring, and everyone's scared of her, but one guy is nice to her. I'm not necessarily expecting much. What?
It sounds like The Wallflower. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
I remember that review, actually.
I'm not really, like, expecting necessarily that much from this anime, but I'm just hoping it's a cute... well done slice of life. I mean, not necessarily something that's going to change my life, but something that's just going to give me some laughs and be cute in the end. Though I haven't seen anything of that yet. But what I have watched is I watched the first episode of The Sacred Blacksmith. The first episode was interesting. It is ripe with cliches. It did give some panty shots, so that kind of made me cringe inside a bit. But,
I'm really sorry. When an anime, right off the get-go, they're giving you panty shots, it's a bad sign.
Well, okay, it wasn't as bad, though, as that one anime where we counted, like, 60 in one episode. It had, like, 2.
100 in one episode?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not... The only thing that I'm kind of excited for The Sacred Blacksmith and that I'm hoping continues on is they were going a lot into, like, the cities and the world and... the government relationships between them, and it kind of had an interesting twist. It looks to be about a girl who wants to be a knight, but she's not very good. She's kind of clumsy, but she has a good heart, so that's the cliche. But the guy is a forger, and he's a magical forger. I know that sounds cliche, but it's kind of interesting because I've never seen an anime about forging. The only thing I'm worried about is it might turn into a monster of the week, so... Hopefully, in about 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be giving it a good impression, and I can't wait for Blue Literature, Winter Sonata, and the new Three Musketeers to come out.
All right, I have a couple questions for you.
Yes.
First question.
Yes.
Do the magic weapons that he forged talk?
No.
Thank God.
Thank
Second question.
The only thing that I thought was retarded about it was it's like this special sword that she's never seen, and it's a katana, and she's like, what's that? And he's like, I only forge katana. And she's like, a katana? And he's like, yeah, that's what I've decided to call it. And on one side, I kind of give them props for not just assuming that that's language, like, known in the world. But at the same time, I was like, that's really kind of stupid.
At the same time, it kind of is known all over the
world. My second question. Are all of the girls' panties the same? Did all these girls buy their panties at the same panty store, or has panty competition been entered into the marketplace?
Considering I have only as of now seen one set of panties, and it's not really panties, it's more like iron panty armor, but
iron panty armor.
These
she
people
says.
Are prude. Jess. Good lord.
But I think it has some potential. I'm just worried that it'll either turn out to be a Monster of the Week anime or turn out to be stupid. I'm worried it'll be stupid.
You know, I'm just concerned that, you know, once the sync ratio of the weapons is over 500%, that the weapons will start talking to their controllers. And I love Mahou Shoujo Lyrical Nanoha, but, I mean...
The magical weapon seems to end with how it's forged. The weapons are normal, the forging is magical, and it's I'm not going to ruin it because it's actually pretty cool, so I was kind of like, oh, that's neat, when I first saw it.
So,
yeah.
Well, I might check this one out, just to see.
What about you, Hatake? Did you start any animes?
I did, actually. I only managed to get in one.
As she says with a big smile on her face.
Because it's a guilty pleasure. I watched the first episode of Inuyasha, the final act.
No way.
Yeah. And it's just like the...
Whoa, it's ending? Seriously? It's ending?
It's actually ending, but I don't see how it's going to at this point.
Dude, they're going to have... It's not going to end. The ending is going to be like, surprise, it's final act part two.
What if the ending is Kagome is pregnant?
Oh.
Do they have abortions in feudal Japan?
Okay, wow. Moving on now.
What?
Wow.
So, Inuyasha final act, first episode, Hatake.
Okay, so it's basically, I mean, okay, I'm just gonna throw it out there. It's just like the older series.
Wait a second, I just can't let this go. Wait a second. So, would the baby demon of Inuyasha...
Oh my god.
Would it take its baby Tetsaiga and slice its way out of her womb?
It wouldn't have a baby Tetsaiga. It would get that after it was born.
It's not born.
Come
Inuyasha
on, son.
Doesn't have it growing out of his stomach. It's not like...
This isn't Revolutionary Girl Utsuna.
What is Inuyasha's claw attack called?
Iron Reaver Soul Stealer.
With the baby Inuyasha, Iron Reaver Soul Stealer is out of her womb.
That might happen.
So
it'd be just like Twilight.
Actually, no. Oh yeah.
Just like Breaking Dawn,
you know,
rip her out of the stomach.
But you know
teeth.
What? In reality, Kagome doesn't know if it's Inuyasha or Koga's child.
It's Inuyasha's. Inuyasha's.
And then it turns out that it's Shishomaru.
Koga's sexually frustrated.
Okay.
Turns out it's Shishomaru's, and everyone's like, WTF.
So in the end, Rumiko Takahashi, he's just determined to screw with us for another season.
Pretty much.
It's only like 13 episodes, though, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's 13 episodes.
The shortest season.
It's either 13 or 26. And yeah, I know, right?
Rumiko Takahashi made something short?
No.
What is, like, the 190th episode?
Dude, you know more information is going to come out where she's like, just kidding, 54.
Yeah, the new information will be...
The 13 episodes is just the epilogue.
You know, Yasha, I went back to my world, and wait, I had an ultrasound done. It's a boy!
And then it just ends.
That's the new information.
Forget about that.
Okay.
And you know what? Through all the lovemaking that they had to do to get this child, I'm sure that they still didn't kiss.
They kissed in, like, the third movie?
Second movie. It's my favorite movie.
Did they really kiss, or was it one of those kisses where she was like, I'm gonna kiss you, when he was, like, crazy? demon.
Yeah, she kisses him to calm him down. That's what makes it awesome. Yeah, but he doesn't kiss her. He's not kissing her. She kisses him. That's not right.
Yeah, that's not a real kiss.
That's buffoonery.
A real kiss is when they both go in for the kill.
It's got to be a quiet, peaceful moment where they share a romantic, you know, thingy.
Anyway. Oh, Mitsugi, that's so touching.
There was a time when I...
You need to stop touching me.
What you don't know is he's touching himself right now.
Hand check. My hands are above the table. Okay.
Mine are too.
The only person's hands who I can't... Okay.
Mine aren't.
You're in Japan. That's not fair. Okay, so are we done with the all right, so stay tuned for new impressions on anime as they, you know,
we're not gonna
tell you whether you should watch the anime until we've seen enough of it to really know, but
nyan nyan koi.
Our main topic for today is what is anime, because, you know, everybody knows what anime is, but what is it exactly, I think, that defines anime as opposed to other forms of entertainment and animation in general that makes it special?
That's just vague enough to work.
as everyone knows, as I've said before, I'm taking classes on anime. And one of the things that we discussed in one of my classes at the beginning that has actually still kind of been resonating in my mind and I've been thinking about it is... We had a discussion on what is anime, because technically the word anime it's a word that the Japanese adapted to shorten animation, really no different than like how hi is short for hello. So originally the term, the actual word itself, anime, meant nothing other than animation, and that counts for Disney would be anime, just the same as, you know, Miyazaki or whatever. But I don't think anyone would really argue the fact that as time has progressed, it's become something that has distinct cultural features, and it's become distinctly Japanese. I mean, I think anyone, if you say anime, you think Japan. I don't think at least any of us here would consider Disney anime.
Not even a little bit.
Well, I know that for the people that don't really know what anime is and all they pretty much know of it is Pokemon, you know, I know that people refer to it as Japanime sometimes, which really annoys me.
Japanime.
But that kind of proves your point.
Yeah.
They're associated.
Japanophilia.
Yeah, Japanophile.
So,
it's me.
I mean... From a technical point of view, anime, using it as the term of this form of animation that's distinctly Japanese, has come from manga, and at least in very many cases. And anime uses a lot of those, to animate, quote-unquote, shooting techniques, the way that they use the camera, that are very similar to how you would read a manga with panning shots and zooming in and things of that nature. But I kind of want to get you guys' opinion, because I've talked on this a bunch with my professor and things like that. But I'm just going to throw this out there and then maybe you guys can discuss. Miyazaki does not like to call himself a director of anime. In fact, for many of his films, he adamantly disagreed that they were anime. It was only recently that he's accepted his films being called anime, and almost begrudgingly. I mean, what do you guys make of that? Because I was kind of surprised.
Okay, I totally have something. I feel like to him, it would be as if we were comparing, well, not so much comparing, but like calling Disney a cartoon. Where cartoons in Western animation have gone so low in standards nowadays that if you were to call Disney a cartoon, it would almost diminish its quality. Maybe that's what he's thinking, not in the sense that anime is poor in quality in comparison to what he does, but it's just not what he's aiming for. And if you think about it, a lot of the times anime is very much a series of some sort, where his are all individual movies with very powerful morals and very in-depth plots and style and I just, everything, I love Miyazaki to death.
So what you're saying basically is that Miyazaki doesn't want to have his storytelling genius reduced to the level of cookie cutter mass produced animation, which is basically what anime
exactly.
is.
And which is what cartoons in Western animation have become, is this sort of repetitive background, really poorly drawn, crappy plot line sort of thing.
Well, I mean, to elaborate on that, I mean, I would even put Western animation far, far below the mass-produced stuff that Japan puts out.
Oh, their mass-produced stuff is a million times better than what we've started to become. It's really bad.
And I mean, and in Japan, anime is a major source of revenue and advertising and all kinds of things for the country and for media in general. You know, whereas here, basically nobody watches cartoons or you know.
It's almost like anime is I don't know if this is true, maybe Chiaki, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but anime is almost at the level that our regular TV shows are down here, where we've got dramas like House, and we've got comedies like Scrubs, where they have dramas like, I don't know, give me a really good one.
Hero.
Dramas like Hero, comedies like Pre-Tier, or even something more hilarious, which I can't, Full Metal Panic for Mafu, things like that, Wallflower.
Well, I've been saying for a while that I think that certain anime, like Monster, animes that have really well-constructed plot lines that are very thrilling and exciting, wouldn't be blockbuster hits if they were adapted for American audiences here. Like, if Monster was taken and made into a live-action series taking place in Japan that had its, you know, traits as an anime severed, because, you know, everybody would pretty much reject it here from the connotation that it's anime, that's from Japan.
People would eat
that. Monster has a much more thrilling plotline than the crap you see on TV like Lost or Hero.
It really does.
I mean, just to, you know, dig deeper into your point about how it's comparable just to our live action.
It really is.
Well, firstly, not to backtrack too much, but just to make a final comment on it, the way my professor explained was very close to what you said, Kimiko, regarding Miyazaki. Anime, as we've already established, has a distinct connotation in people's mind. And Miyazaki feels that what he produces and what he's trying to create, the themes and the quality and the story, far transcends what many people think of when they think anime. And that is why he, in many cases, in fact, almost all cases, has not liked his films being regarded as anime, because he doesn't want to get, you know, cornered into a stereotype that's going to make people and audiences essentially demean his films.
Well, does Miyazaki say what he prefers to have his films called?
They're films. They're like any other film. Like a live-action one.
He just doesn't want people to think something of them before they've seen them, where if they were titled
exactly,
people already start to assume before they've even had a chance to watch.
That makes me raise the question of, where do you draw the line between film and anime? Because Miyazaki's not the only director out there that puts out films of that kind of quality.
I think
there's a lot of directors that, you know, some have embraced being called anime directors, and some have, you know, been more on Miyazaki's side that are like, we don't like that title. And then there are some directors that are kind of in the middle that are like, yeah, I'm producing an animated film, so it's technically anime, short for animation.
So it comes down to the director to make...
In many cases, it comes down to the director, but, I mean, the line's getting even blurred further because, well, I'll move on to this in just one second, but in answer to Kimiko's question about anime, I haven't, like, anime here, I think the best way to explain it is it's just simply more accepted. And I know that seems like it would be duh to say, but it's like, it's not like every person in Japan is, like, crazy about anime or anything, but it's just more part of the culture, because they all grew up with it. So, I mean, it's like, you know, you're flipping through the channels and you'll see historical documentary, game show, and Future Boy and Detective Conan, and each one of those has an equal likelihood of being picked as the television show to watch that evening. In fact, that happened the other night. So,
well, essentially, in Japan, anime has a much higher budget than most live action movies or TV shows would have.
That's what it looks like.
And I think that's kind of why people you know, Japanese live-action TV shows kind of have the stereotype of being kind of low-budget and kind of silly, you know, and it's just because a lot of the money that goes towards this kind of media is put into anime first and foremost.
So much effort is put into anime, it looks like, for a lot of them, not all of them, I'm sure.
It's very expensive to produce.
Mm.
And then another thing, back to the next point that I was going to make, was regards to what Mitsugi said, where do we draw the line or whatever, because there's a lot of, well, not a lot of, but, I mean, anime directors have always been exploratory. I mean, even the quote-unquote god of anime, you could argue, Tezuka, Osamu, who, you know, gave us Astro Boy, Princess Knight, Jungle King, or as he's known in America, Kaiba the White... What is his name in America?
Kimba?
Kimba the White Lion. Thank you. Kimba the White Lion. I mean... He was a very exploratory director. I mean, if you ever get a chance to watch some of his experimental stuff, he did very mature themes very early in the anime scene. He did a movie, Cleopatra, that was aimed for adults and had nudity and a sex scene. And so anime directors have always been exploring, but one of the things that some new directors are, and I think Oshii is among them, though I'm not sure, has been taking pictures and using still photographs that have been taken and combining them with some animation qualities and then using them as animation. So it's like, you know, where do we draw the line? Is that still animation? Because technically it's a series of still images, and in some cases that have been altered artistically, but it's quote-unquote real images. So,
okay, so you can take anime and you can define it by its quality, but I also think that even before that, anime is defined by its content. Because in the United States, cartoons, as I will call them, are intended for a specific audience, and it's children. However,
yeah.
You know, with the exception of a few, Family Guy, South Park. However, in Japan, I always have a problem defining exactly which age group anime is intended for, because even anime that's drawn in a way that I would think is meant to appeal to a younger audience contain, you know, sexual themes, violence, adult content like death and, you know, divorce, things like that.
General cursing.
That the little kids can't understand or, you know, shouldn't be expected to understand at that age. I tend to define anime also by the content, because it seems like it's the only animated medium that exists that has adult content within it.
And many scholars would agree with you on that. I mean, Danny Calavaro, in his in one of his works, the cinema of Mamoru Oshii, starts by discussing, you know, developments in anime and giving a background before he goes into Oshii. And one of the things he said is, anime practitioners often tackle issues deemed off-limits by Western animators, feeling less constrained than their Hollywood counterparts by the budgetary imperative to appeal to the widest possible public, especially children. So, I mean, essentially what that's saying there is that anime practitioners are more liberated than what in Japan than what we see in America, and they're not just confined to appealing to children, and they're free to have more adult themes, because even Susan Napier, another person who I've read a lot of their works on anime, and she has a book, Anime from Akira to Howl's Moving Castle, I think is the title of the book or something, but I recommend it if you're interested. Either way, she talks too about how anime has kind of transcended what Westerners think of as cartoons and what Westerners would expect from them, and to being a very mature medium.
Well, part of it also has to do with not only the differences in culture between the United States and Japan, but also, you know, in the United States we have the FCC, which kind of monitors content that's on TV. They don't have that in Japan. The kind of content you can get away with on television in Japan, and I mean like daytime television, is a lot more free. I mean, so if you really think about it, in Japan, if they had the same kind of television restrictions that we had, you know, if you think Beavis and Butthead was bad, you know, go try watching pretty much any given anime. It has a lot more mature content in it than Beavis and Butthead. You know, Beavis and Butthead got shut down for having saying boobs in their episodes and things like that. You know, let alone panty shots and sexual content, you know, with children.
Well, I do want to say, though, that Japan is much stricter on sexual content than the Western world is, which is actually very ironic. But when it comes to, like, pornography and things like that, they are very strict. Pornography is technically illegal in Japan, I believe.
Yes, but there's a difference between pornography and putting ecchi in your animation. You know, there is a strict difference. I mean, even putting ecchi content in daytime television in America would not fly, whereas you can get away with that in Japan easily. You would never get away with, like, you know, the school days type content in America. Panty shots, sexual, you know, implied sexual themes, that kind of stuff isn't necessarily considered pornography, but it still would not be deemed appropriate for American audiences. However, I wonder that if in Japan, if they did have the same kind of restrictions that we have in America, if their animation would also have ended up being, you know, geared more 100% towards children. You know, because you can't exactly gear children-like content towards adults. You know what I mean?
And thankfully, we will never know.
Yeah, thankfully.
True that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess in conclusion, the point of this topic and why I suggested it, I hope everyone is not just fast-forwarding through going, this is so boring, but was to kind of to get everyone to think about anime, the connotations it has, you know, how it's being defined and what that really means, because, you know, maybe the next time you introduce a Miyazaki film, instead of saying this is a really good anime, maybe just say this is a really good film.
That's normally what I do say when I'm trying to get people to watch something that's, you know,
yeah,
Miyazaki, especially in America, because the minute you say anime in America to someone who doesn't already watch anime, it automatically has a negative connotation. And I know that everybody listening has experienced this at least once.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person in the world who has hidden at one point or another the fact that I watch anime from regular people.
Yeah.
Because regular people judge you in a heartbeat for watching anime. Mm-hmm. Just cause,
and that's why we're anonymous.
Yes.
Oh, no, it comes full circle. It all comes together.
And by the way, if you would like to discuss what anime is or talk about any of the other topics that we've, you know, brushed upon recently on this episode or others, you can visit the forum via aaapodcast.com. There's a forum button on there. We really encourage people to come on and talk with us. But
yeah, please talk to us. This is, I mean, I'm literally going to school for this right now, and I've written papers on it, so I really love a good discussion on it. So I promise I check them.
Yeah, so that's aaapodcast.com. So does anybody else have any last comments?
I think I'm good. Go anime.
Woo!
Okay, so anime reviews.
Wonderful.
Pre-tier,
right.
Let's preet.
Let's not.
Will you preet with me?
Say no.
Just say no to preeting.
So anyway, that should be the new title. Just say no to preeting.
Yeah, it can be the new dare slogan.
For all of you who are really confused right now, pre-tier, its basic plot line is about a girl who becomes the pre-tier. And a pre-tier is a powerful sort of sorceress-type princess character who has a bunch of leaf knights at her disposal who, when they preet with her, which is they combine themselves into one person, physically one person, they don't just, you know, anyway.
Yes, they preet and then they...
And then she gets a new outfit and a new power one. And they become one and it is all magical and all... It's pretty much the... epitome of...
It's magical real sex.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, you see, Jimmy, when a man and... When a woman and a preet are in love...
When a preteer and a leaf knight preet together...
Daddy, I don't understand.
You wouldn't, son. But anyway, it's... I don't really know about plot. I mean, it does have an evil sorceress-type creature, the Princess of Disaster, who, you know, is... wreaking havoc and
she's just mad because she never got to preet with havoc? Anybody.
Oh, you and your havoc. I, yeah. it's, you know, one big love story slash magical transformation sequence trash slash
Rudy
slash all of the, you know, stereotypical happy magical anime awesomeness, and a lot of interesting characters voiced, if you're watching the dub, by amazing people. Chris Patton, what's his name? Illick something. Illick Guardiola. He's pretty epic. He's probably the only guy with an Italian accent who's a voice actor.
You know what? I thought of something. For all of you biology majors out there, or maybe I should say botany, you know, I understand that the evil witch lady's mad. But really, in the end, we just need to get her a Leaf Knight to you know, use his stamen on her.
I hope there's at least one bot in him.
And if you don't know what a stamen is, S-T-A-M-E-N, you can look it up on Google.
Who doesn't know? You don't have to be a botany major to know what a stamen is.
Not everybody.
I don't think there are
botany
majors. But anyway, yeah, Lucy Christian, Greg Aries, Hillary Hagg, going on, trying to change the subject, says Kimiko. As they're doing a dance.
So please continue, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not the best anime in the world, but it's worth it's worth a watch, if only just to laugh and to notice all of the, you know, innuendos.
Is it better than a hentai?
It's better than a hentai.
Way better than a hentai. It could be a hentai if no one was wearing clothes just because of all the preening, but it's it's still an interesting watch. I would recommend it. Maybe 4 magical transformation sequences out of 5.
You mean Leaf Knight Stamen.
Okay, Mitsugi, 4 Leaf Knight Stamen out of 5.
That's a generous score for pre-tier.
Hey, I liked it. Maybe it's a guilty pleasure for me, but it was cute.
Oh, it's fair.
It was cute.
It's short. It's short.
It's 13 episodes?
Yes.
13 episodes. So it's a quick watch too.
So if you were held captive and being tortured, and the selected torture was to make you watch pre-tier, you know that your torture can only last for 13 episodes.
Wow. You suck.
Well, I mean, I'm being tortured with Baskwatch still. It's the only anime from the last season.
Are you still being tortured with that?
It's the only anime from the last season that is still running. It has 2 more episodes left. Good God.
Wow.
You just stopped in the middle.
I'm 24 episodes into it, and by God, I'm going to finish this anime.
What he's not telling you is he actually likes it.
I don't know how you could. You'd have to be on crack to like that anime.
Have you seen any Baskwatch advertisements or anything like that in Japan?
I'm gonna see if there's any
I haven't, but I've heard the theme song in department stores. I was like,
epic?
I was walking around and I was like, what's this music? And then I was like, oh my God.
Is LeBron James singing the because it's made by Nike.
Oh Jesus.
Okay,
so Mitsugi, do you have an actual review?
I actually have 2 reviews. I am going to slowly cover all the animes I watched from the last season that just ended. I polished off like 4 or 5 animes, you know, like all in one day last week, and it was nice. The first anime I have to review is Valkyria Chronicles. And I gotta say, Valkyria Chronicles is not that bad. It's pretty good. For those of you that somehow managed to miss out on what Valkyria Chronicles is about, or didn't get the game for the PlayStation 3, or didn't even hear about the game, it's got kind of a cliche plot. I mean, I gotta admit that there's pretty much nothing original about this anime whatsoever. The plot summary is that when Imperial forces attack the small border town of Brule, you know, just to sum it up, there are a couple soldiers from the town. They kind of meet up. They join a militia group that kind of supports the Gallian army, which fights against the Imperial Empire, which is the other army that's battling. So it's basically an anime about a war between the Imperial Empire and Gallia. And the anime's got a lot of cute characters in it. It's got really, really great. It really looks great. It's got really great visualizations. The characters are pretty good. Alicia is a really cute character. She's really likable. Welkin and Faudio are really likable characters. I really like the characters in the anime. You know, one of my main complaints about it is just simply I really felt like the anime dragged a lot in the beginning. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, not in the beginning, but in the middle. It started out really great. The first episode was fantastic. Second episode was really good. third and fourth episodes were a little bit, you know, slower. And then from, like, episode 5 up until around episode, like, 16 or 17, it was kind of slow. I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, an anime that centered around individual battles. You know, they would prepare for a battle, they would do the battle. You know, a character might die, but in reality, pretty much none of them get killed. You know, and...
It's like DBZ.
At the end, there were actually some DBZ-like fights. You know, not to spoil too much. But since they put that in the opening themes, you pretty much are going to know about that right off the bat. And I really thought overall Valkyrie Chronicles was good. If you like animes that are about war, it's pretty much, you probably got to pick it up, you know. And in a time when pretty much all anime is moe anime, it's all you get are like little cute girls. I'm sure that those of you that really like animes that are about war are going to, you're probably starved for anime that you actually would like, and Valkyrie Chronicles is definitely one that will appeal to you if you like stuff like that. But it also has really likable characters, and it doesn't have a rough or a harsh art style. So, you know, I think it can appeal to multiple groups of people. But so I'm gonna give Valkyrie Chronicles 4 Valkyrias out of 5 because it was pretty good. It was one of the better animes from the fall season, or from the summer season, and so, you know, if you want to go back and kind of check out some of the ones that you missed from last season, Valkyrie Chronicles was probably one of the top 5 from last season, so you probably want to go back and pick this one up. The other anime that I'm going to review today is Conan, which is not quite as good as Valkyrie Chronicles. This is like your typical action anime. The plot summary reads that 2 years ago, Shibuya was ravaged by a biological terrorist attack using a deadly virus. One of the characters was saved when her father inoculated her against the virus, but she's left with partial amnesia from the shock. And, you know, she's working as a cameraman, and she's reunited with her old friend Conan in Hong Kong. And Conan's an assassin who's gifted with this ability called Synesia, and she's being targeted by a terrorist squad, which is called Snake. And, you know, meanwhile, there are numerous groups that are converging on Hong Kong, and they're all after either Conan or Maria. And so you have these people that live in Hong Kong, and they kind of cut to the chase right off the bat in the anime. Right from the first episode, you kind of get the feeling that there's a virus. There's a lot of gunfights going on. People are running around on rooftops shooting at each other. Pretty cool stuff like that. But basically, at the heart of it, this anime is just about a virus that gives people special abilities. And I really think that it's been done so many times before. I think the real appeal of this series is action, you know?
I was going to say, that whole virus-giving abilities thing is kind of, like, exploded, even in America. I mean, they've had...
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
In America. They've had, like, 6 different series that have come out in the past year with that same basic plotline.
I mean, I actually really kind of lost the plotline of this anime halfway through because they don't really focus... I mean, they kind of sum up the entire plot all in, like, 1 5-minute segment of one of the episodes early on. And then after that, they just kind of... It's very random. I mean, like, all of a sudden, they just kind of up and leave Hong Kong, and they're driving to the desert, and they go to, like, this military base, and there's a battle of the military base. People die.
Oh.
It's like, what the hell was going on? And the anime just jumps around like crazy. It's like the plot line was so, like, insignificant and small that they basically covered it in 5 minutes, and then they just decided that since they had 7 episodes left, they would just kind of screw around and do whatever the hell they wanted, you know, for the remainder of the series, which consists of having girls that look like they're 15 shoot guns at each other. And these girls are so, like, badass that they can basically have a gunfight, like, point blank with each other, and then they still never manage to hit each other. Incredible.
Sigh.
But the scenes of the series that are like that are basically the highlight. I mean, because the stuff in between isn't really much to scoff at, you know? You're not going to watch this anime for the plot line. Do you guys ever just have an anime where you watch it and you wonder, like, you just kind of stare blankly at it the entire time you're watching it, and you just want, you know, Hitake to say something more than just nod?
That's right, they can't see me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. I can't recall any titles, but...
Well, you know that there are animes that are like that. And
oh, yeah.
So if you're going to watch Conan, you're not going to watch it for the plot line. In fact, you can
watch it for the action.
Yeah, you're gonna watch it for the action, and it's like you're gonna watch the whole.
That's my impression of you.
If you do watch the whole thing, you're not even gonna know what it's about after you finish it. All you're gonna know is that there's a virus. People are given abilities. They're killing each other. They like to shoot guns and hot girls. Is that it? And Conan has no boobs. She could really use like some implants. Come on, she's like.
Okay.
She's the only female anime character I've seen in, like, years that doesn't have, like, at least a C-size cup. Come on. She has, like, a 22-inch chest. It's really bad.
Wow.
She could really benefit from something, from some kind of procedure.
Okay, so that's our podcast, guys.
And so, I'm going to give Conan 3 breast implants out of 5.
Oh, dear.
Because she really needs them.
You would.
Superb.
Conan is not one of the better animes from the last season. It's somewhere probably in the middle. I would probably skip it if you can. If you feel like you absolutely have to watch like guns that are shooting, just watch the opening video like 5 or 6 times. I gave it a 3 out of 5 because, you know, there's so much stuff that's worse that it looks good by comparison, but like compared to some of the stuff that came out over the summer, I mean over the in the spring and last winter, really not that good, so.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yeah. Anyway, so. So that's the podcast for today, guys. I mean, I hope you enjoyed it. You know, I hope you learned a little bit about, you know, what defines anime as a genre. And, you know, if you stay tuned for further episodes, you're going to gradually be filled in on exactly how good the animes from the summer were.
We'll keep watching.
I'm going to cover like 6 or 7 more of them. And pretty soon we'll all start doing impressions and let you guys know exactly what is good and what isn't from the fall season.
I have a feeling there might be an episode coming up soon that we might just have all impressions instead of reviews. Because yeah. We'll all probably get to that point at the same time.
Yeah, there's going to be a point where we're going to have an episode that's mostly talking about, you know, what's good and what isn't, and a little bit more in-depth than what we talked about today. So, you can find us at aaapodcast.com, that's 3 A's, and, you know, we're on Facebook, we have a growing fan community on Facebook. We really want you guys to come onto the forum and talk to us about things that interest you in your anime watching. Animes you want us to review, topics you want to have discussed, things like that are the types of things that we want to have you guys, you know, participate and offer us.
Become our friend on Facebook. Yes. And check out our stuff.
Yeah, look us up on Facebook.
And stay tuned for the webcomic and the overhaul of the website.
Yeah.
Friends.
So tonight we have the closing theme for you is True Sky Blue Sky, which is the ending theme of Tears to Tiara by the artist Aida Yuki.
Enjoy.
So have a good night, you guys.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you
next time. Have a great one, everyone. Fairy tale, what's gone?
Oh, 懐かしさに溺れて 溶け合えばいいよね 多分